Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
When knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. When knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quite something able. We're off the bad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
I'm sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. Is there ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
The Terrible. All rise for King Caesar the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah.
the devil. If I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. The. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. That's where you get to talk to the wonderful people over there at TCT Radio and Awake Radio chat room and Shazia's Mad Science chat room. You know, it's not always easy to try to work your way through life and try to figure things out. It's kind of chaotic. And to be able to choose the words, be able to choose your words wisely so as not to step on the toes of other people's beliefs and feelings and such, it's really kind of hard to do. You know, because one man in this world doesn't have all the answers. You know, there's lots of words of wisdom coming from lots of wonderful people all over the planet. You know, best I can do is come from, you know, whatever beliefs that I have in my mind and heart. And the one thing that stands out to me is no matter what you believe in your spiritual journey in life, there was a book that was written quite some time back, and whether you want to believe it to be, I don't know, a story or a story with morals or whatever, there was a man named Jesus that stood up on a mound. And he said the words, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." And he also went on to talk about how the meek shall inherit the earth. I look out into this world today and I see the things that I see and I hear the things that I hear. And I played that little deal with Paul Harvey just a little while ago, and he talked about, you know, what he would do if he was the devil and how he would mess the world up. Pretty ironic that he wrote that in 1965, or said it in 1965, not just the exact same year I was born. Seemed like the world went downhill ever since. I don't know if you noticed or anything, but when I started playing in the little bit of music on the intro while getting ready for the show, each one of those songs kind of takes a step down, all the way down to the very last song, where it's essentially like a warning kind of deal. As Paul Harvey came before the last song there. But, you know, it's a lot of work being a peacemaker. It really is, because if you look out there, there's so much going on. There's so much division amongst all the people between party lines and, you know, religious views or spiritual journeys or whatever. It's really hard to be a peacemaker in a world such as the one we have to contend with. It'll make you tired. It'll make you, you know, want to just give up and go to sleep. But, like I said, I don't have all the answers. Just maybe the bits of words of wisdom that I feel are worthy of saying to the people out there in this world. People of all faiths. You know, I listen to them talk and I watch their paths in life, and I think we're all heading the same direction, but I just think that we're going about it, you know, slightly different depending on, you know, what your background and where you've been. There's a lot of wars and rumors of war, just like the good book said. And personally, in my heart, it's kind of hard to contend with when you hear the stories that you do on TV or radio or even in the alternative media. some folks they believe that doomsday is coming around the corner, and you know, I brace for impact. I have to remember when the first time I went down the rabbit hole into the Matrix and I started hearing about all the secret societies and all the different possibilities of somebody coming to round my family up or get me, you know. And so I went into pretty much full combat mode. I bunkered in. I was, you know, as ready. You know, I had to fight the fight. And as the years passed on and the doomsday never showed up or the date kept changing, I started to think that, you know, maybe some of what was going on out there was people trying to keep me living in fear so that I wouldn't excel at what I could potentially become. And so, if you go back and listen to a lot of these podcasts from the Knights of the Round Table all the way back to the beginning of the Knights of the Round Table, there's over 200 and some odd Knights of the Round Table shows alone, and that's not counting the Mad Science shows. But if you go back and listen to the progression of how I spoke back then and how I spoke now, there was a strong sense of urgency back then, but it was more of a panic sense of urgency that, you know, we got to do something. We got to do something. It's getting bad. It's getting bad. And I'm scared for my family, and I'm scared for my friends and the world in general. But somehow or another, throughout that entire deal, I held on to those words that a man named Jesus spoke out there. I believe him to be the Son of God, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the story was different. I don't know, because truth is subject to the, you know, honesty of the teller, and I don't know, because over the 51 years of my life, or 52 years of my life, I've had to hear all kinds of stories from all different directions. People trying to question my faith and get me to question my faith and my beliefs. Honestly, I can't sit here and tell you that I know the truth of anything. You know, all I know is from the observations that I've made and from the stories that have been told and the prophecies of the old days. And so I based whatever I can, you know, but those words resonated in my heart because it said, "Blessed be the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." And through my spiritual journey and things that I've seen, my version of what I believe God to be, you know, love and light and all that, if there's an opportunity for me to stand beside my Creator one day and just tell Him thanks for being him or her or whatever, once again, I don't know. All I go is by faith. That's all I got. Because I have a history of people who have histories of stories told, and sometimes stories change. I don't know until the Creator of this earth shows up and you know, straightens it all out with the truth or whatever. Then we're just kind of flying by the seat of our pants, trying to just survive in a world gone mad. There's a lot of wonderful souls in this world, and I choose to be a peacemaker. You know, I choose to try to, you know, understand and see other people's sides of the story, because they're on a journey just like I am. I don't know, you know, all the places they've been. I know where I've been, and I've seen the things that I've seen that have defined me as I am today. I choose to be a humble servant to my brothers and sisters around the world, because I do believe in the dream. When I look out at this world and I see the wonders, the beauties that nature has provided for us, that our Creator has gifted us, I look at this world in amazement. There was a time in my life when I spent the time just wandering aimlessly through life and haphazardly having fun and just enjoying everything and not paying attention to nothing, and I missed out on so much that I probably could have come to a understanding a long, long time ago had I just stopped for a second. And that's what I'm asking everyone out there who is within earshot of this radio show. Just stop for a second. Let's sit down by the campfire. Let's have a talk. This world, we're in such a... Sky Blue says over there, it is a spiritual war. We have already been divided and the differences have been exposed and demonized, so there is no chance of reconciliation. Peace has had a divorce paper served, so now all that is left to do is to protect your soul and protect the innocent. I understand all of that. The thing is, my heart, it just won't give up. It says, I keep telling people, I will be the very last person standing on the battlefield when everything has gone completely awry. And as long as I have breath in my lungs and I can move anything, my lips or whatever, that I'll be shouting out until the very last soul is gone. I will be saying, can't we all just get along? Peace and love and all that, you know? Because until it's completely over, my heart just will not allow me to give up. And as crazy as that sounds, and, you know, looking out at the world and seeing that all appears at this point to be so hopeless, and, you know, it's, hey, if it's over, it's over, then we just walk away and we just allow things to just finally play themselves out. I don't know, maybe it's kind of selfish in my heart when I look at it and I see the world and what this world could be. I mentioned one time that it's like watching the most amazing artist paint the most beautiful picture that you've ever imagined, and after the picture is being painted, there's people that are coming over and they're putting smudges on it and scuffing it and, you know, messing it up, you know, and then, you know, finally the artist gets so frustrated from everybody tearing it up or mocking it or ridiculing it, and then finally the artist himself just destroys that beautiful painting. And I'm like, no, please don't tear it up. That's beautiful. You know, if you don't want it, if you're going to throw it in the trash anyway, let me have it. You know? And so I'm not willing to lay down and give up to evil. I'm not willing to just shut my mouth and walk away. It's, in some folks' mind, it would be called insanity, repeating the same process over and over and expecting a different result. I'm hoping beyond all hope for a different result. I'm hoping that somehow or another, some way, that the world will, you know, wake up to some sort of amazing enlightenment and just do the right thing for each other. So, when the good book says, when that man that was standing on the standing on the mountainside, and he's telling everybody, saying, blessed be the peacemakers, and went on to say, for the meek shall inherit the earth. What kind of earth are we going to inherit? And everybody tears it all up and they poison all the waters and trash everything. What are we going to inherit? When everybody has to start trying to repair everything that is damaged. You know, nature's working overtime trying to clean up after people that just don't get it. A lot of us get it. There are a lot of wonderful people out there that get it. And like I said, if you go back and you listen to the podcast of old, the message was urgent, and the longer the time went, the message was still urgent, but it wasn't nearly as panicked as it was before, you know. We've laughed, we've cried, we've got angry on these shows for so long. We go out there and we read the newscast and the alternative media. We listen to them and we see, you know, different people getting elected and stuff like that in office. And, you know, we think that because this person's showing up that it's going to be, you know, it's going to be terrible. I've been in some communities before where you would expect that everybody in that community would be all frustrated and angry that they were living in poverty and things were so terrible. And even though times were hard, each of these folks had something in their heart that I just wanted to know what that was. Because they were willing to, even though they, you know, didn't have much to offer, they were willing to give. They took a stranger in out of the rain and they fed that stranger and took care of him with the best they could. And I want to say that the best meal that I ever had was in the tiniest house that I ever saw in my life with probably one of the poorest families. And it wasn't just the quality of the meal, it was something that was in that room, that spirit that was in that room, that was just so amazing. You know, those folks out there that they figure they can build a stairway to heaven paved in gold, but the best gold that I ever saw was in that tiny house, that tiny meal, you know, that we had together. The hearts of these folks was, they were thankful. They felt blessed. And then I've been in quite the opposite scenario, to where the overabundance of everything and the amazing beauty and the woodwork of the house, but the meal just wasn't the same. Even though this was the fanciest house that I ever stood in, and it seemed to be some really nice folks that were living there that invited me for dinner, something was missing in that big giant house that was in that little tiny house. So I think about that, and I think about some of the words that man named Jesus spoke about on the mountain. And I think about the story of how his life was sacrificed to try to bring peace between God and sinners. Now I know to some folks that these words are, you know, it's not part of their spiritual journey. Or the lack thereof. You know, some folks just don't have, they don't believe they're even on a spiritual journey. They believe life is life, and then when you're gone, and that's that. But regardless of whether you think it's a fairy tale or a story or whatever, I was inspired by things that were said. You know, the whole do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, and how to live a humble life and be a servant to those around you. There's 9 billion people on this planet, and some folks think that there need to be less people on this planet. My heart says there needs to be more people on this planet. When I look out there from a scientific mind, and I look out there from, you know, an artistic view of what I'm looking at, I'm looking in amazement, and I'm seeing, you know, this world is so incredible. It is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. If mankind walked in harmony with nature, this world would be so incredible. Beyond your wildest imagination, we've got more than we ever need. And we were provided all this. It was an amazing gift. However you think we got it, whether it was if you believe aliens came down here and put all this together, or you believe the divine creator put all this together, it doesn't matter. It's the whole fact that somehow, some way, whether it be by haphazard chance or some random act of kindness or chaos from a universe gone wild, somehow or another we were fortunate enough to be standing here on this plane of existence with all these materials and all these people and all the possibilities to move into the future. I find it amazing. I feel honored, I feel humbled, I feel blessed to even be here. To have any, even one person show up to listen to me talk or even come on the radio show and have a conversation with me, I feel like I just won the lottery. I feel like I'm the luckiest person that ever lived because these folks took the time out of their life. See, their life is valuable. Their time is valuable. And for them to come on here and share their words of wisdom with me, who am I? I'm just a man. I'm just one of so many out there. I'm just, one little piece of the grand scheme of things, a big puzzle. But I got to keep speaking what I feel to be the truth about this world. And some may think it's over. There's nothing we can do. We've gone too far. We're so far over the cliff that there's no turning back. And now it's just a matter of letting it all play out. And then eventually, if there is a creator, then it shows up and straightens everything out. And those who got it will get to go to some glorious reward. And those who didn't might just get the opposite. I don't know, but my Lord puts it on my heart to say certain things sometimes, and I don't always have the terminology or the right words to say without stepping on the toes of the other people that have difference of opinion or beliefs than I do. But the Knights of the Round Table isn't about trying to prove my point across of, I'm right and you're wrong. The Knights of the Round Table is for people to come together and just talk about things, to try to find that truth together. I don't want to be a follower, and I don't want to be a leader. I just want to be one of those voices of reason in a world of chaos, in a time and space that literally before our very eyes has gone mad. I've got children and grandchildren. When I see those grandchildren and my children and I look into their eyes and I'm amazed at, wow. These kids come around this world because I just so happen to be here. I just happen to be lucky and I found the right lady and we made a family. But I feel fortunate to have my family. I feel fortunate to have my friends. And every time that I'm blessed, I just want to share that blessing with everybody else. I just want, it's kind of like, I'd rather take the smaller piece of cake just to see the joy on somebody's face. They feel special. And I think there's so many people out there in this world that are of the same mindset that I am. They just express it in different ways. They say it in different ways because of where they were raised or the culture that they lived in. They say what they say because of everything that they've seen and done and become. Blessed are the peacemakers. You got your work cut out for you if you decide to be a peacemaker. Because you can look out there and you can listen. And you can hear, even in your own family circles, you can hear those out there that aren't getting along. They're not seeing eye to eye, and sometimes they take what would have been something small and they make it huge. You know, there's some things, some problems in this world that are so much worse than some of the petty things that we feud about. And there's so many things that are so much more important. I started looking one day at all the things that I wanted to do in life, all the things that I would like to have possessions-wise. And I realized none of that mattered. In the grand scheme of things, none of that mattered. I got to the point where I didn't even want things anymore. I didn't have no want for anything. I might have had physical needs such as tools in order to be able to cultivate the land that I'm standing on to make it worthy for other people to be able to see the vision of what I've seen in my lifetime. But as far as personal possessions, they just seem to not matter anymore. There was so much more to the world than meets the eye. There is a spiritual war going on. Just like Sky Blue said in there. There's a... Sky Blue says, do not give up. But you can't fight for peace. Peace can only be protected, but when there is no peace, you're in the wrong place and there is nowhere left to go. So how do you step over those that are fighting for what they believe to be right when belief is what of right is corrupted to suit those who that want the division? You can only keep your mind in place of peace. And heart responds to the inner peace, but the external world will make the mind go crazy. Time is the most precious thing we have, and we are all mortal who can not stop the ravages of time. Sorry I didn't read that as clear as I could. My mind is just racing like you wouldn't believe because there's so much I want to say. I know the inner peace that I have with my own mortality. I know that I'm not always going to be around, and I'm pretty much set that, you know, if anything ever happens to me and I go wherever it is we go after we leave up out of here, I'm probably going to get in trouble because I'm gonna ask a few questions when I get on the other side. Maybe I won't have to ask a few questions. Maybe it'll all be answered instantaneously and I'll know the reason why things were the way they are. I don't question my Creator or my God. I don't question Him why it is that things were allowed to happen in this world to the extent that I don't hold no blame for my Creator for what atrocities have happened in this world. You know, in my good book, my book of faith, it talks about, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, you know, and all these, some would call them golden rules, some would call them the Ten Commandments or whatever, some would just call them words of wisdom to live by or warnings or whatever. It doesn't matter. I subscribe to those beliefs that, you know, you shouldn't hurt people. And there's many other belief systems out there that pretty much say the same thing in just different words. And so I'm trying to base my life off of that kind of concept. Man was given something amazing and then kind of squandered it. Kind of neglected the land and got to the here and now where people are just too complicit, or, and you know, I might even go as far as to be rude and say lazy instead of getting out and fixing things. It's easier to sit back and complain about them. You know, sitting around the round table and, you know, talking to people out there, hoping to motivate hearts and minds to think, to get out there and do. There's a song on there that talks about, you know, I hope you dance. Might have to play that song if I can find it. But to me, it talks about enjoying life. It talks about if you have the opportunity to do something, that you take it. I'm sitting here trying to, I can't talk and type at the same time. There it is. I'm going to take a brief moment and I'm going to play this song for a second. I don't know why it is, but something about this song, it just resonates. Stay tuned, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
And we're back. I hope you enjoyed that that song, I Hope You Dance. Been joined by Honorable Knight Barbara Three Crow. How's it going, lady?
I'm doing fine, thank you. We're trying to get Two Dog in here. He wanted to sit around the fire with us, and I guess we're having trouble.
Yeah, well, I think all he's got to do is just pick up out there. On Skype, hopefully we can get him in here because we'll love to talk to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you were talking about how grateful you feel, it really I could so identify with that. We had a beautiful ceremony here yesterday, you know, in a First Nations way on our land here, praying for you know. Well, we always pray for all people, all nations, and the children especially, we pray for. And just give our gratitude for our life and the seeds that we planted in the gardens, the foods, the fruits of the trees and the waters. And I just felt so happy and grateful for the blessings, you know, just the blessings of being here on this earth and the realization of how, you know, we are all watched over, and I feel very blessed and privileged to be here on the Mother Earth, and it was a privilege given to us. And originally everyone was given what I call original instructions on how to be here. Everyone received these original instructions, which we call in our First Nations way Creator's Law. And you know, and people over time, of course, started to forget this. Of course, there's been many intrusions, and we could name and identify many of those reasons, of course, why our brothers and sisters have forgotten those original instructions. You know, I mean, you can call it greed, you can call it a darkness or Lucifer that wants to destroy whatever is sacrosanct that Creator had gifted to the universe. You know, that spiritual war that we're speaking about is not only our spiritual war, it is that spiritual war between the dark and the light. And you could call that dark Lucifer, you could call that light God, you could call that light Creator, it doesn't matter, Great Spirit, you know, Wakantanka is in the language of the Lakota people, the way I follow, that I'm adopted Lakota. But we all had those instructions, the black, red, yellow, and white nations. And, you know, we see what's going on. Clearly, our people, our brothers and sisters many have forgotten.
You know, I believe that there's traces of those instructions imprinted on the hearts of everybody, because, you know, some folks would call it a conscience. You know, even some of the most rotten people in the world would feel bad when they seen certain things happen in the world. And I don't know, to me, I believe because we were given free will, however people want to believe we got here, this doesn't matter. We still had a choice. Even if we got here by accident, we still had a choice what we were going to do.
Right. I don't believe in accidents.
Yeah. In some form or fashion, I believe those original instructions from our Creator to show us the, you know, the difference between right and wrong, that, you know, even if you go back to my book of faith, and it talked about how, you know, the original first sin came about, nonetheless, you know, it said that you would die that day, but it wasn't a death like a physical death. It was more like you would now know the difference between good and evil. Before, it's like a baby being born, and you're into a world that, you know, you don't know good or evil. You see what I'm saying? It's
those
innocence there.
No, I totally agree with you, and I do agree. You know, we all came here with that, what I call the original essence, you know, as sacred beings, and I do believe that imprint of the original instructions remains within us. Everyone has them. Everyone has the wisdom within them. They have that light. They have that spirit. It remains. It's never absent until we're ready to leave the physical. But it's covered up. It's hidden. You know, due to many things that people suffer or experience or are subjected to. But I do believe we all have that. It does remain. So I'm right there with you. Right there with you on that.
And to some extent, the inner truth that we've all been looking for, we've kind of been looking for on the outside instead of inside ourselves. You know, it's like when I was born, I had kind of a rough life, you know, but I can't blame my actions from that point on to everybody else out there. I had to really look inside myself to find out, you know, who I was. Where I was going, my choices in life. It looks like we lost a call with Barbara there. Let me see if I can call them both back and see what happens. Hopefully we get them both back. But anyway,
oh, I got knocked off.
Yeah, I think I got you back now. And hopefully we got Charles in there too.
I don't know. The call's still failing there. I told him to reboot.
Yeah.
reboot his Skype, you know. What were you saying? I know it was important.
I was saying that sometimes that the, you know, we're all seeking truth, and sometimes the inner truth that we're looking for, that's somebody trying to call me on the phone. Sometimes the inner truth that we're looking for, we're looking in the wrong direction. We're looking out to the world to find.
That's true.
I got to bury that phone.
Well, I think that, this is the case here. I agree with you because I think that people, you know how they, that term, that words, they say looking for love in all the wrong places?
Yeah. That's,
you know?
That's kind of what I'm saying. That, you know, we're trying to look out into the world for truth, and when the reality of what it is we're looking for, you know, like we were saying, that you personally are the solution. You know,
yeah.
all the people out there listening, you listening, we're talking directly to you, all right? You are the solution to the problem in the world. You can fix these things by finding that inner truth in yourself. You know, like I said, Barbara, I don't know the ultimate truth of everything that's going on. I don't know whether all these secret societies or doomsdays are coming to pass or anything like that. I do know what the book says and you know, the end times and all that kind of stuff. And heck, if you want to talk about prophecy, listen to what Paul Harvey said back in
1965. Saying it. I loved listening to Paul Harvey. I used to listen to him on the radio. That's how old I am.
Yeah, me too.
And that man was a prophet. And everything he has said and spoken about, just like what I was listening to you played earlier, everything he said came true. Everything he's talking about. And we find ourselves talking about the same thing, right?
Yep.
I mean, everything he's saying, we certainly have been talking about ourselves. And so this whole thing about looking for love in the wrong places, you know, that's sort of like I guess that people got a bad deal, steered in the wrong direction, because everything that you need is true, is within your own self. Once you open that heart, once you open the gateway to your heart and start looking within, you will shift your whole life. You know, it's not in consumerism. You know, it's not going to be a big house that's going to get you a happiness or peace. It's not going to be buying more things. It's not going to be even a partner. It's not. It's just that you have to find that connectedness, you know, to yourself. Through your own heart and to Creator in that way.
You just explained it better than I could find the words for it. That's what's amazing about this whole deal, because what I can't say, you can. You know, I'm sitting there, I'm trying to find the words to reach out and explain to people what's going on. You know, the spiritual journey that we're all on, you know, regardless of where we're in, I think we're all ending up going to the same path or whatever, but nonetheless, you're being misguided by the world in general. You know, people with their opinions and views and, you know, their agendas or whatever, they want to send you down the wrong path and to find the serious truth, the real truth. You only got to look inside, you know. You mentioned earlier about the original instructions being imprinted on your heart, you know.
Yeah.
You know the difference between right and wrong, even if you're a rotten person.
And well, nobody was born with hatred in their hearts or their minds. Nobody, as an infant, a tiny little being, you came in as this awesome, sacred one just from the source. You just arrived from the source, you know?
You'll never see creator. You'll never see a baby being hateful.
That's true. And you'll never see a baby seeing a difference of color of a person. You know, you put little ones together, they're just touching each other, looking at each other, playing together. There's that complete happiness and joy, you know, of unity, that knowing that's our innate nature, you know. And we learn prejudices, we learn hatred, we learn to, you know, all of those negatives, that's put upon us. That's how we learn. You know, that starts very early, you know. Do you want to try to call Two Dog? He says try again, because I, right now, for some reason, I can't.
I'm going to see if I can. For some reason, he's in my contact, but I guess he hadn't set my contact request. That might be the problem.
Oh, that might be the problem. Okay. Yeah, for some reason, I'm on his link, and I can't click on the call, will not activate, so something's screwy. And also, let me see, Sky Blue Eyes asked if she can join.
Yeah, you want to try that, Adam?
But I don't have her Skype.
I don't know her
Skype.
I think I do.
Okay.
Let me look. I got to do a search. Typing on the wrong keyboard again. I got three keyboards going on here. There we go. I found Sky Blue.
All right.
Try that.
You know, I think the sorrow that people are feeling, the hunger and the longing that they have, is they're longing for their source. They're longing for the creator source. They're longing for their own spirit to be alive and to be recognized. That, to me, is what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
So, let me see. Sky Blue. I don't know where it is, Sky Blue. Let me see. Did you give her a call?
Or? Yeah, I added her to the call.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't get a... I don't have her here at all on my Skype. She said she put a request in, but I don't see it. These kind of newfangled things... I don't know.
Yeah, it's something else. I'm gonna see if I can find Two Dog in the deal and send him another...
Sky Blue Eyes says she's on a new Skype account, so I don't know what that means. I am a him, by the way. Okay.
Oh.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Skype
Blue.
I'm so happy to know.
I just sent Charles a request for Skype.
Okay.
All right.
Alrighty. Okay, so yeah, so what I was saying, you know how people are looking for something, right?
Yeah.
Like they're desperately looking for something. And like where they are, they're looking for it in the wrong places. But I feel that it's their own spirit. And also because I feel our spirit within us, embodied within us, that it's linked, continually linked to its source, which is Creator, to me, God. And that there is this longing emanating from these people, this searching, this longing, it's almost driving people crazy, and they're looking on the outside to fulfill this hunger, this longing, this emptiness, but it's not in the material world. It's not with others. It's nothing to do with that. It is within you. Your own spirit is calling you. That's how I explain this, you know?
Yeah. Sorry, I was a bit distracted. I'm going to try to get Sky Blue to send me... That was fast. All right. Let's see. Accept. There we go. Now I can add...
I've sat with so many people in counseling who are desperate and, you know, hungry and longing, and it's really affecting them. And I tell them, what you're really seeking is to go inside your heart and to identify the spirit, the holiness, the sacredness within your own self. Once you do that, you will be fulfilled and you'll find that inner peace, that connectedness, you know, because it connects you to Creator, your source.
Yeah, and I was saying earlier that I don't know what it is inside me that just keeps pulling and pulling, and I can't give up on the world in general until it is completely done, until the entire scene, when it becomes completely obvious that it is utterly hopeless.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to be one of the last few standing out there in the middle of the battle and the chaos, and I'm going to be like, peace and love, can't we all just get along? When it's done, it's done. There's nothing I can do about it. But in the meantime, if there's any kind of like a ray of hope, or if the light at the end of the tunnel says that we can salvage something that could have been so wonderful, you understand what I'm trying to say?
Oh, I absolutely do, because I have the same thing, you know. And Patty Walkenturner and I are always talking about this. I feel that it's that spirit. I still say it's our spirit is hope. Carries that hope, because it is the source of Creator's love, unconditional love for us, for the children of Creator. And so I feel, yeah, I don't have that I'm giving up stuff. This is too, it's too awful, it's hopeless. It's, because that to me is the dark. That's a voice that does not enter into my sphere at all. And so questioning that, you know, I say it's because we all have that light within us. Some may feel it's not present, or it's more distant, and that's due to certain circumstances. But I agree with you, because I don't think that it's hopeless. And it's not hopeless for me until it's all done, until it's all over. Because I just keep getting that message, because I do believe, and I'm getting that message, that it is up to us, each one of us, how we are going to function and participate. No matter what's going on, we have to hold the light. We have to hold that hope and that light and that trust and that faith. And the more of us that do that, that's collective energy and frequency. And you could say, well, then suppose there's, you know, more of us that hold that and things still go, you know, kablooey and all hell breaks loose, and excuse me, but all things go really in the wrong direction from what we hope. Still, you have lived a life of balance and harmony and peace and love and compassion within your own self. And that to me is the most important thing.
Hello! Sorry about
getting you. Jump in there. I'd just like to say that it's never a case of ever losing hope, right? Because hope is important to oneself, right? Because you always hope that things will work out fine. The only time that you get disheartened is when you try to solve the world's problems, or problems that are bigger than yourself, right? And, you know, when it comes down to you, you can always change things around you and the world around you. You can't change the world, but you can change you. So there's never an excuse to give up, because it's just how you act and react and respond to things around you. You can always change that.
Well,
whatever's around you, it's open to change.
I agree with you. I'm not sure if you ever heard the. I told a story one time about either a dream or a vision. To me, it seemed so incredibly real that, you know, it was a very, very vivid dream, but I actually got to meet what I would vision to be God. And there are no words, no human words that could, you know, you could gather up the best writers of the world and, you know, the ones that could, you know, make you cry when you read what they're reading, you know, and you could gather up the best of the best writers that ever existed in the history of time. And it just could not explain the type of love that I felt. I mean, if you, in this dream, if you wanted to do something wrong, if you wanted to think something wrong, there's no possibility you could physically or mentally do anything wrong in the presence of that feeling. And so if just my words can even get anyone even remotely close to what I felt in that dream, and if they could experience that just one time, then they would understand where I'm personally coming from when I look at the world and I'm not willing to give up, at least trying to use my power of the spoken word to reach out and touch somebody's heart and show them that there's something different out there, you know, something that you haven't been taught in school. You see what I'm saying? You know,
well,
I do, yeah.
There's gotta be. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Sky.
I totally do agree with you there, Shaz. The point I was making is that the world around you is where you can affect any change you like, and. Even the way you look can be changed. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you think something is horrible and nasty, you know, if you reconsider it and looked at what its pros and cons were and worked out what benefits you, then the next time you look at it, you think, ah, that could be useful. If you see what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I understand.
So it's really a perception. But when it comes to the world and all the evils in the world, you're not going to change it. Mankind has been given free will, and this free will is all about the experience they get out of life. Evil exists so that there is free will, right? We cannot defeat evil, because in taking evil away, would there be good? You know.
Well, I don't think it's about defeating.
If you see what I mean, you've got to have one extreme to the other.
What I'm getting at, there
has to be evil and good in the world. I mean, currently it's not in a perfect state of harmony and balance, which would be ideal.
Yeah, that's
right?
The word I was
it's
looking at.
It's got to exist to have good, right? If you.
That's the word I was looking at, the balance.
I don't believe that we can defeat evil. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be participating in creating a balance, because yes, the dark and the light is part of creation. And it's like you're saying, I agree with you, but I also receive different information in prophecy and vision and insight into the abilities that we have, how we're made up of energies and frequencies. We're not just a solid mass here. And that when we speak or when we have an emotion or an action, we are creating a ripple or a wave effect of energy. It could either be high or low, depending on what that action or thought or emotion is. And we are the center of that particular frequency that emanates out from us and affects the whole of creation, because we are all connected energetically to connection. Now, that's the power that Creator gave to us through free will. We all were given free will. You can choose to hold the light, be in love and compassion, or you can choose the other direction, but that has an impact on the whole of the sacred web, which we are all connected to energetically and frequency-wise. So, in a way, I'm saying, yes, we can affect the whole, All right? We may not see the immediate results, or we may not see it, period, but it is ever-present into infinity, affecting and being affected by. So that's how the messages that I received from Spirit. And also, yeah, Shazuz and I talked about this beautiful journey, vision. Now, you had a dream. I had a waking experience of the light. I was taken into the light, and I knew that I was with Creator. It was profound, and as we talk about this, we cannot describe it in human language. We don't have the words for the love that we experience. We don't have the words for the bliss, for the beauty, for the joy that we experience. We don't have that type of experience here on Earth because we are in spirit. It is our spirit that has traveled into the arms or the embrace of that light. And I was told that I had to go back, and I became terrified and resistant, did not want to go back. But I was told, as I was flying back into my physical self, I was awake, that no matter what, everything will be all right. Now the words, no matter what, you have to listen to. Everything will be all right. And this really has stayed with me all these many, many years about that message from Creator. And I truly believe in that because of who we really are, because what we really are, because we are sacred, because we are spirit, that spirit embodied within us. Anyway, I just wanted to share that.
It's ironic, and good news, we got Two Dog on here. Hi, Two Dog. You there?
OCO.
OCO.
Anyway, I was getting ready to say...
Nice to finally make it.
Yay! I was getting ready to say it's...
Nice to finally make it.
It's ironic that this conversation is going the way it is. For some reason, you know, I'm not into astrology or nothing, but it's ironic that the astrological deal for my birth month is the scales of justice, you know,
uh-huh.
And how that came to be, I don't know, but I always feel like everything has to have balance. I always feel like things, you know, have to be equal and fair across the board. And I've been that way since the day I was born. Like I said, I'm not into astrology or anything, but it's just ironic that be the case. And, you know, I don't know what to make of it, but I believe the scales of justice are so far off of balance, and that's why we come together and we're trying to throw those positive pebbles out there to show people that they're, you know, you don't have to be absorbed by the darkness or the evils of the world, that there are, you know, options there available. You understand what I'm trying to say here?
Well, through free will that we were given, there are options, and that's what we're trying to help the people understand, is we were given free will. You can choose the light. You can choose to be a good person. You can choose that, or you can choose to do harm. You can choose to be judgmental. This is the gift given to us as human beings to make an impact in a positive or a negative way, you know. So that's why I feel that every one of us is so essential as co-creators here. You know, we're creating our reality, and we can choose which direction we want to go.
Yeah.
You know, That's what I feel.
I'm like that. I'm kind of like that, you know. I've heard people talk about, you know, from my book of faith, it talks about the last days and all that kind of stuff and how things will come to be. And I'm kind of like that, I don't know, optimist or pessimist all in one shot. I'm kind of like the glass is both half empty and half full, you know. And if you want it either way, you either drain it down or you fill it up, kind of thing. But, guess what I'm trying to say here without babbling is that I believe that we right now have within our grasp the possibility of literally bringing about heaven on earth, but it would take such a grand scale of grassroots kind of thing to get everybody to understand that we have that potential. and that the things that were written in my book of faith, as far as what would come to pass at the end, don't have to be written in stone. I mean, imagine your father, you know, tells you, I'm going to work now, and I'm going to do all, you know, what I do and take care of y'all, and you, while I'm gone, I expect you to follow this set of rules and take care of each other and have the house in order when I come back. Well, you know, if the your father comes back and the house is all a mess and everything's tore up and everybody's fighting and feuding, you can understand that there would be frustration and anger from that, you know, episode. But what if, hypothetically speaking, what if by the time our Creator showed up, we had finally figured it out? You know, we finally figured out what life was all about, and we understood that being caretakers of one another and our brother's keeper, so to speak, you know, servants to one another. We figured that out to the extent that now when our Creator showed up, we were like, we had this place all squared away. Now, in that instance, everything that would have been said that was going to come to pass if we went down that path would now be gone. Am I wrong for thinking like that?
No, Shaz. You mentioned heaven on earth.
Yeah.
I've got a simple philosophy that I use, and it's really simple. Hell is in your mind, and heaven is in your heart. If you listen to your heart, you can live in heaven.
Wow,
if
now
you
that,
listen to your mind, that's you'll
profound.
Live in hell.
That is profound, because you, man, I never even remotely thought about it like that, but your mind is your worst enemy, and your heart's your best friend.
Oh, for sure.
That's incredible.
All your fears are generated in your mind, all your fears. That's why they bombard you on television with everything fearful. Your biggest fears come from television. Because they tell you all about the wars and murders and crimes that occur throughout the world. If you turn off your television, that's 90% of your fears beaten.
Well, there you go, man. There's another solution, right?
It is.
Another solution right there on the doggone table, man. See, that's why I said it's, you know, the Knights of the Round Table, it amazes me every time we have a show. Of some of the things that are said on here, the words of wisdom that are spoken on this show, it just blows me away every time. You know, we've talked to people from all different faiths, from all different places, all different points of view and backgrounds and stuff, and the words of wisdom that come up out of the mouths of the people that have showed up on the Knights of the Round Table, it just blows me away.
It's like that of the mouths of babes.
Yep.
That's what it's like, right?
Well, I'm never going to forget.
It's beautiful, you know, like you're saying, there are so many people, we're so aware of this, there are so many people from different parts of the world that we communicate with, that we are on the same page. We all really get the pieces, you know, and trying to get the word out there to people. And I, you know, I just say, I had to come to the realization many years ago that if I could touch one person, just one, I would make a difference of my time here on the earth. I would be fulfilled because I had these high expectations, you know, and I see other people go into this. People aren't listening. What's wrong with people? Why don't they wake up? And, you know, and I was very well aware of that, and I kind of was doing that myself. Where are the people? How come people aren't getting this? And so on. And I realized, okay, I just have to be humble here. I have to be humble and know that I was given certain things, certain information, certain guidance and teachings to help people. And it's not for me to drag them to the water hole to drink, you know, or to wake up. I am to be sharing what it is given to me. It's sort of like seed planters. You know, I look at us all as we are planting seeds. You know, when you plant a garden, you put the seed in, you kind of say a little prayer, you put it into the mother, you give it a little water. You know the sun is going to be nurturing it, and the rains, and the Mother Earth herself. And you go every morning, like I do, you check the little seed, what's happening. You go there every day, and you look, and you see a little green coming up. And then you start to see this seed you planted growing and taking form. And it's really up to Creator, as far as people are concerned, when we plant seeds. Creator and them, it's their agreement with Creator. You know, I'm planting a seed. I pray. My praying for people is watering and the sun shining on them. That's my prayer. It's not up to me to go crazy that they're not getting it. That's all I want to say. So it's sort of like, you know, becoming a humble seed planter is what I'm saying.
If I may add a little bit to this, if you talk about being part of nature, which men are, all mankind is. It's like looking at nature in itself and being in the middle of the city, like Chicago, Illinois, and you're walking down the sidewalk, and in the crack of the sidewalk is a flower. That's as spiritual as it gets, because that flower has now grown in the middle of the city, in the middle of the sidewalk. So where there's always controversy, always comes spiritual blessing. And within a lot of what I've been through in my time, to go from garbage can to run this nation, it's a miracle. And I stay humble with this, and I thank the Creator for letting me do this. And to be honest, is what you're talking about and what we're all trying to do. On the 16th, I had Wiltshire from England over here that sat with the Eastern Band that sat around my campfire. And on the 21st, I had Mexico flying. And I sat with Mexico on the 21st. So each step that people take is a blessing.
Hey,
we're
two dog.
Different around the world.
Two dog. He doesn't. You have a radio on in the background or a TV. It's coming through, so it's hard for me to hear you. You're being interrupted by your TV.
Hang on just a minute, and I'll find out where it's coming from.
You gotta love technology. Well, while he's getting that sorted out, when he was telling about the flower in the crack down there, it reminded me of that story I was talking about some time back, where I saw this, essentially it was a dump, but in the middle of this trash pile was probably one of the most beautiful flowers that I've ever seen, and it hit me like a ton of bricks that, you know, nature's peeking out and saying, hey, you know, look at what this could be, you know? And I think that's kind of what we're trying to say there, is basically the same message that nature was saying by popping that flower up in the spot where, you know, mankind kind of paved over the ground and basically took
exactly
away.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
I just want to comment on Barbara's mentioning of planting seeds. We all do this instinctively just by communicating to one another. But people get disheartened when it's believed or totally ignored. The point that I make is that it doesn't matter how they respond or how they react, because it's not down to us to germinate that seed. We just plant those seeds, scatter them to the four winds, and let the events take their course, because sooner or later, whatever you're describing to them to say this will occur, this is happening because of this, they will experience it, and that will germinate what you said to them at some future point. Because the number of times I've just spoken to a complete stranger and said something or other's going to result from doing that, or this is going on in the world, and they go, ah, no, that's a conspiracy or whatever. And 6 months later, you know, here I am walking down the street and you go, I recognize you. You mentioned to me 6 months ago about this. How did you know? I said, well, it was inevitable. I've seen it that many times. That's why I spoke to you. You know, and the complete stranger recognizes me from the conversation that they were totally disinterested in, or, you know, and yet it came true. And because it came true, they remembered me and said, how did you know? You know, so the point I'm getting is keep planting those seeds. Keep scattering them to the four winds. It doesn't matter about rejection or ignorance on their behalf, or just outright dismissal. It does not matter, because it's not down to us to germinate that seed.
Well, that's
absolutely
why...
So do not get disheartened in the fact that they want to ridicule you. Because at the end of the day... Because at the end of the day, it's going to come true.
I agree.
Myself, that they will germinate and develop their own minds. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's why.
I just wanted to add to that, because to me, it's in Creator's hands. We are all seed planters. I think the point is to pay attention to what seeds you are planting. And don't get discouraged if you're planting good seeds, but, you know, awaken to the fact that you might be planting not so good seeds. You might be planting hurtful things, but it is all ultimately in Creator's hands, and we're in service to Creator, you know, and to the Mother and to all of our fellows, you know. So, yeah, we are all seed planters with every word we carry, every emotion, and even thoughts. So that's important to pay attention to.
That's why I believe that these podcasts, if you're listening in and you want to hear more of the older shows going way back, jump over there to ShazizRadio.com, and on the Knights of the Roundtable link at the top, there's a drop-down menu that'll take you right to the podcast. We've got over 200-some-odd shows that we've posted podcasts up here. And those are essentially the seeds that we planted throughout the time that we've been here. And there are people on there and words of wisdom. And you're going to hear laughing. You're going to hear crying. You're going to hear anger. You're going to hear everything from real people from all over the world that are trying to make this world a better place in any way possible. You know, by getting proactive in their communities and doing things, or, you know, just putting words of wisdom out there, there might be something in those podcasts for you. And if you do happen to find one that resonates with you and has a profound message to you, those podcasts are going to be up there as long as I can keep them alive on that site, because I believe that those words of wisdom, you know, need to be heard by a whole lot of people. And, you know, if they're forever immortalized in the digital universe, I would say pretty much anything that I said back there, I'm not ashamed of what we all talked about back in the days. You know, even going back to the times whenever, you know, doomsday was a possibility and the panic was there, and we may not have came at it the right way, but we were just coming into a world of chaos. We're being told all kinds of things bad were going to happen, and we wanted people to be prepared because we loved them enough that we didn't want them to suffer through hard times. You know, these are the trials and tribulations that we had to go through just to get to this point of understanding in the world. And so I'm glad that those podcasts are posted out there for people to hear. And if you find one in there that you think would be a good message for somebody else, you know, you can cut those things up, chop them, and send little chunks of them to somebody. If it benefits anybody in this world, I'm sure there ain't one single person on this panel right here, right now, that wouldn't want that to be done, because they were spoken for a reason. They were spoken from the heart, and they're there to help. You know, what else can I say? You guys got any thoughts on that?
I have to log off. So I just wanted to thank you, Shaziz. Again, it's always wonderful to chat with you around the fire, you know, and there and Chief Charles Two Dog and Sky Blue Eyes, wonderful to finally meet you. And yeah, maybe we'll connect next time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So you was getting ready to say something, Sky Blue?
Yeah, I was just basically to comment on what you were saying about your past archives.
Yeah, go ahead.
Disinformation era, you know. Yeah, well, you know, you have done all these words of wisdoms in past and put them to archive. They will outlast your body, but your spirit was being digitized in an audio format for all to take advantage of. So, all the people out there listening, take advantage, learn something new. I mean, this is what we're here for, to learn and to experience. So, you know, take advantage. They're on offer for free. Shaz, I don't believe you charge anything for your archives.
Don't charge nothing. It's
so there you go, people.
You know, and here's
another... It's a wonderful word. It's free, isn't it?
Yep. Here's another offer that I make so often that, you know, if you've got words of wisdom that need to be heard, you know, you got something that's on your heart need to be said, there's a microphone available for you. It's so easy to become one of the Honorable Knights of the Round Table. Charles Two Dog is an Honorable Knight of the Round Table. Sky Blue Eyes is an Honorable Knight of the Round Table. We just heard from Barbara Three Crow, Honorable Knight of the Round Table. It's so easy as to get on this Skype and tell the world the message that you were sent to say and join those archives with us so that when future generations stumble upon this website and they listen to these old stories that we were talking about and solutions and ideas and how we were trying to guide this ship towards a more safer path, you know, you too are the solution. There's not one of us who are better than any of us. There's one of us who... Yeah? Go ahead.
I can say it.
Let's hear it.
I can say this. You know, the way I look at things, I really think that every step we take on this earth is a constant talk and a constant... And Sky. And if Metakwa Aziolesin means we're all debated, we need to start talking with each other.
Yep.
And evidently, I've been in this peace movement that I've gotten started here. I've now sat with Wilshire, the Eastern Band, and I had... Rock. The 24th. I've never seen nothing like this, but it's an honor to be on this round table with you and around this fire. And it doesn't matter which way you worship the Creator here. The thing about it is now we're a...
Well, somehow or another, your audio keeps dropping in and out there, Charles. Somehow or another, we keep losing your audio on there.
Go ahead, my brother.
Maybe you can come closer to the microphone or something like that. But I agree with you. You know, I feel like all of us are brothers and sisters. If you go back in my book of faith, it talks about it one time that, you know, all the 12 tribes of Israel were scattered out throughout all the land, and all the tongues were basically, you know, changed to different languages. So, you know, not one of us has every talent or skill or gift or anything like that. We're all just pieces of the puzzle. And until we figure out that we have to literally work together and come together to make that picture complete, then everything is the way it is. You see what I'm saying? And so, whatever religious belief you've had in throughout your entire life, or, you know, lack thereof, or whatever, whatever spiritual journey you've been on, you're still one of the pieces of the puzzle. And that's why I say that every single life on this planet is important. You know, it's like if you go out and buy you a 500-piece puzzle and you decide you're going to just throw one of them away, throw it off in the trash or something like that, and then you go to put that picture together, that picture can never be complete without that one life. You understand what I'm trying to say here? It's,
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
So, what I feel like needs to be done in this world is exactly what we're doing. You know, saying these words of wisdom and immortalizing them in the digital cyberspace forever that hopefully somebody can see. Like, you know, I wrote this thing about a lighthouse. I don't know if you guys ever had the chance to read it, but I posted it in the TCG fans room and in the chat rooms and stuff. And on Facebook, but it essentially talked about being a lighthouse, you know. And you really just think about that lighthouse, it's got a purpose. But its purpose isn't to, you know, to be famous or anything like that. It's, I have to just dig it up and read it. It's about the easiest way that I can do this. Let me jump over there on Facebook real quick and find that doggone thing and just read it to you. So that, go ahead.
One moment, Chaz. Here's the deal. The biggest secret in the world, the biggest secret, isn't so much the one world conspiracy or extraterrestrials visiting the Earth. Those secrets, you know, they are important to the governments of the world, but the biggest secret of the world is our potential. Each and every one of us is a genius, but we are not allowed to be who we were born to be. We're not allowed to be. We're brought up by the controllers who dictate to us what we're taught at school and how we're taught and the ways we're allowed to think, right? We are dictated to from the moment we're born right through to the moment we die. So we never ever achieve our full potential, which is that we're all pure genius. Okay? That is the biggest secret. And when you tell people this, that you're a genius, you just gotta learn to develop what you are capable of. And it doesn't matter whether it be a physical genius or a mental genius. We each are a genius in our ability. Until we realize this in ourselves and develop it, we're never going to be that genius, right? So you know, talking to one another to encourage them to build on whatever skill they're good at, or to just encourage them on whatever skill they're not good at, you know, to encourage people to become a better person, right? Because we can all be much better than what we're allowed to be, you know. Until that happens, the world will not improve because they control us in a way that we just settle for being a mind slave as such.
Yep.
Okay, so the biggest secret is that we're all a genius, but we've got to develop that genius.
Well,
you know, and communication is the start.
I found the post that I put on there about the lighthouse. I'm going to go ahead and try to read it the best I can here. But I was thinking about the whole, when I wrote this thing, I was thinking about the whole overall deal of what's going on in the world and what we're trying to accomplish and stuff, and basically what you just said about being the best that you can be. You know, there's only so far that you can take it because you only have so much talent, so much skills. But if you could shine that light, the brightest, there's only one person that can ever do what you can do. There will never be another person like you. And there's only one person that can offer anything in the same perspective of you. There might be those who agree, but they're not, never, you're so unique that they're never going to do it the same way that you would have delivered your message. So I wrote this, and I said, I cannot save the world by myself, but I would if I could. But the best I can do is be the best that I can be, and let the blessings of my life be a lighthouse to guide others through the stormy seas. In the big picture, I am merely one tiny piece of the puzzle that makes up all that we see. I am humbled and honored to be a servant to all my brothers and sisters worldwide. I wish to be a lighthouse standing tall and true, sharing all of my heart with each and every one of you. In my life, I have this dream that is hard to explain, a world of love without any pain, a peaceful home for all to be, blessing the world like the way that I feel that my Lord has blessed me. A lighthouse never stands in pride, only shines its light when it's dark outside. A lighthouse never stands in fear, only shows the way that the path is clear. A lighthouse never wants for praise, only points the way on stormy days. Shining like a lighthouse from the stormy seas through the darkness of night is the best I can be to make the world a better place for you and me. My faith keeps me strong and my love keeps me right. My Lord fills my heart with the power that helps shine so bright as I stand on the shore to shine His light. Help me to help the world by shining yours too, and show the world together what we can do. One candle flickering in the wind, then two, joined by a friend, three, then four, and soon even more, chasing away the darkness from shore to shore. I believe in the dream, and that it is true that together with each of you there is not anything we cannot do to fix this world for you, me, and you. I chose my path of peace and love, and give all the glory to my Creator in the heavens above, and thanks for all the blessings and the gift of each and every one of you. I wish to be a lighthouse in service to you. Peace and love from me to you. Shine your light each and every day and through the night. Together we will make this world gone wrong go back to right. God bless us all. Now, that was put on my heart, and so I put it down to pen, so to speak, used more like the keyboard. But what do you guys think of that?
That was really brilliant. I held on every word of that.
Well, do you feel like it resonates with your message that you're trying to say to the world as well?
I had a vision of the peacemaker myself. And actually, that's when all these flags started coming in. But the fact of the matter is, we're here to talk with each other, man, and that's what you're wanting to do. So, you know, I'm honored to be on here with you doing that, because we're trying to make a difference here in this crazy thing that other people are doing in this world. It's not the world itself, because any part of life is a great circle from childhood to childhood anyway, and all life is sacred. So if we lose any part of nature, that circle is broken. So, you know, we're trying to do the same thing that you're trying to do, my brother. So I'm with you all the way.
Well, I feel like, you know, just like I explained there, without those other pieces of the puzzle, without them having some sort of understanding, there's not one piece of the puzzle in this entire picture that's the same. We all have our differences. But even with those differences, somehow or another, like right now we got three of us left on this deal right here. Our pieces of the puzzle, they make a section of that picture. And if only we could get those words out to every single heart out there, and they could look inside themselves and find that truth. Could you imagine how beautiful this picture would be? I mean, just step back and look at what the world has to offer out there. I mean, I got some really beautiful screen saver pictures on my computer of just nature and life and stuff, and I, like I said, the way that I see the world, I look at the world in amazement every day. I mean, everything's a blessing. We've been blessed even times when you think you ain't blessed. Even in the worst possible time, you get a flat tire on the side of the road and many people show up to try to help you out. Some folks you never even met before, but now you got a new friend. You know?
Let me explain something here just this real quick. Within this time and all the time of history right now, if you think right now you have an individual that is a Christian and an individual that is a traditional as far as Indian, and we're sitting here talking with each other.
Yep.
And that's history in it, that we can do this and do this in an honorable way. And to be honest, we're not all that different. Culturally, maybe, but we're not all that different. We all love our children. We all love our wives, our husbands when we come home. We all sat and eat with each other, laugh with each other. We're really not that different, my brother.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. You know, some folks think that this is an impossible task. There's no way that we can fix this world, but I think the ultimate test of this whole thing, if this was an experiment to see if you could put all these different cultures and nations together, and all they would do is forever war, or finally come to some sort of understanding that you know, if they chose to do so, because the potential is there. Even in my book of faith, where it says that in the last days that there'd be wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence, and we're sitting here, we're looking at this so-called internet that we have access at our fingertips to the vast sum of all man's knowledge, like my friend Simply Steve always says. We're standing at a crossroad right now. We have every single answer to every single question to resolve all the problems of this world if we choose to do so. And at this point in time, there's too many people out there fighting amongst each other over things that aren't even significant in the grand scheme of things, where they have their own agendas and they want to try to get their way or whatever. If there was some way to put all the selfishness and all the self, I want that kind of thing. You understand what I'm trying to say? If there was a way that these words that we're speaking right now could be heard by every single person on the planet at the same exact time, and then to show them one little light of common sense that would bring them around to understanding, we can't keep tearing up our world. We can't keep tearing up each other. We got to find some sort of middle ground that we can stand on, just the same way that your culture and my culture are standing right here, right now, and having this agreement. You see what I mean?
I hope.
We can fix this world if we want. You know, is it messed up? Yeah. Is there evil in the world? Without a doubt. Is there the possibility that we could all finally agree that without each other, we're pretty much going to do the same doggone things? If you look out there at this world and you understand that this world is so vast and it has so much to offer, and if properly utilized, we could literally bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. We have that power. Is it likely in the way that we're going, the path that we're going? No, it's not, because you can see, as long as bombs are being dropped, then, you know, there's a mess being made. Peace has never came from the end of a barrel of a gun. It never came from a sword. You know, in my book it talks about you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And that's so much more profound than people give it credit for, because it's true. If you walk down the path and all you do is you treat everybody like trash all the way through there, and then in return you expect to be treated like a king, you're going to find out that you're the most hated, vile creature that walked down that path.
I'll agree with you.
To you and I and Sky Blues, that's common sense. to some folks out there in the world, you know, hey, well, I ain't care. I'm not going to worry about doomsday. I'm just going to wait till it happens and then take what I need, you know? What have they learned? They haven't learned nothing.
Right. The way I look at it in these days, if you live by the gun, you die by the bullet.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And this world's getting
on
really
that
fast.
Note. On that note, you know, the favorite saying for all the political analysts is that political power comes from the end of the barrel of the gun. Political power, right? But we, as individuals, we're unconcerned by politics. You know, politics is a label of what do you believe the way your country should be run. Well, me personally, I'm all for anarchy, but not anarchy as the politicians will define anarchy to you, as in terms of what's mine's mine and what everyone else's is mine. That's how they would define anarchy. Anarchy is self-control, do no harm, right? You know, if I'm not using it, then it's up to grabs. If I'm using it, then I'm using it. You know, that's my belief.
There's a video, Skyblue.
Whilst politics runs the world.
There's a video, Skyblue. There's a video out there that I stumbled across one time. And as crazy as it sounds, I mean, because it's hard to comprehend that it's even remotely possible. But in this video, there was a whole crowd of people, and they were out on a hillside. And people in the crowd were walking around. They had food and drink and stuff, and they were asking everybody what they needed, and they were, you know, giving things, and people were giving them things, and everybody was taking care of everybody, and they would ask everybody in the crowd to ask everybody who needed what, and they were doing for each other. You know, if I went out and I made some bread, you know, and I gave you some bread and you gave me some wine, it's the concept of all these people. Their only concern was how that they could serve one another, how they could take care of one another. And it wasn't no greed in this video. It wasn't like what you would see out here, you know, I'm angry because I got the smaller piece of cake and somebody got more than me or anything like that. It wasn't nothing like that, because your needs were always met by one another. Now, in some circles, people would call that like a communist mentality, you know. Communism sounds good at the surface, but the fact is, who's in charge, you know, of making sure that the rules are kept? And it's never balanced out. It always seems to fail because somebody takes all the power and everybody else is kind of just gets done wrong. But in this world, there wasn't any leaders. Everyone was a leader. Everyone was a follower. Everyone was a servant.
There you go. You hit the nail on the head, and you use the word communism being wrong. Communism is when the state runs it all. Communitarianism, not communism, but communitarianism, where it's the group of individuals with no leader shares whatever they've got to share, right?
Yeah.
You all run a community, right? And not by the state, as in communism. That's why communism fails, and everywhere where communism goes, it becomes a hellhole, because the state takes it all.
Yep.
Right? And they've got all the guns. Right? So you don't need communism. You don't even need capitalism. You just need communities to act for the community. You know, you have a leader as such. You just act as a spokesman for the community. But he doesn't lead. He is a representative, a chief, a spokesperson. Right? Leaders, who wants to be a leader? I don't want followers. I mean, I set my own example. If people like what I'm doing, they can follow me, but I'm not leading them. I'm just living my own life, if that makes sense.
Oh, that makes perfect sense, because I'm always saying, you know, that You know, I don't got to go out there and pound my faith into the hearts and minds of people. All I got to do is be like that lighthouse. I got to live my life the best I possibly can. And if people look at my life and they see something worth adopting into their life, then that's the way that it needs to be done. And I don't want to be a leader, and I don't want to be a follower. I just want to be a fellow servant to my brothers and sisters, because I see that, you know, there's a saying out there, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, or something like that. And that's true. You can look back through history. It's always the same doggone way. It always goes wrong when somebody wants to be in charge and somebody has to make the decision, you know, or whatever. I think that the best decisions are made by the individuals when they, you know, follow the right path, if you understand what I'm trying to say. But,
guys?
Yeah.
Let me say it like 5 years ago, asked me if I was sitting down, and I sat down and basically without running became chief of this nation. Now, let me explain something to you. As the chief of this nation, I'm not a leader. You know, well, I'm a leader, but I'm a spokesman for the people. In other words, you know, if we have trouble, I sit with the elders, clan mother, and get her wisdom.
Well, see, the difference, Charles, is
basically, I'm a spokesman. That's the point.
The difference, Charles, is you're humbled and you are a servant. A good leader would be a servant. You know?
Yes.
And that's not a shameful thing. That's an honorable thing. To, you know, like we laugh all the time about, you know, King Shaziz the Terrible, you know. I'm just a guy that threw a funny phrase on there, you know, I'm King Shaziz, you know, but in reality, I'm no king. I'm just a servant, and everybody else, etc. That's the reason for the round table, is that everyone at the table, there's no head of the table. It's a complete circle, and everybody's equal. See, now that's the kind of leader I can hang out with, you know. Somebody who is willing to be a servant to their community. You know, not try to, you know, gather power. So,
I've got to ask here. Here I am, sat between King Shaziz and Chief Two Dogs. Who am I? Just a voice. But we're all welcome. It is a round table.
Sorry, somebody was knocking at the door. I need to put a sign out on air. you gotta love them. But, you know, we're all of the same like mind as far as the way that, you know, we view leadership and all that. That's why I keep on trying to point out to everybody out there. You are the solution. Each and every single one of you out there is the answer to the problems of the world. If you think about that positive pebble in there, in the pond, when you throw a pebble into a pond, those ripples go and they affect every single living creature in that pond. And that's the way that when you wake up in the morning, you got a brand new clean slate. You could choose to do good or evil or whatever. And everything that you do will send that ripple out. Well, the more positive ripples we got going across our massive pond that we live in, the better the world becomes. And so just something as simple as a spoken word is so incredibly powerful. I wish that somehow you could follow the smile from your face to another person's face and see how far that smile actually travels. You know, it might be that they end up going in the wrong direction. The ripple goes one way, and somebody has a bad day, and that smile sets them off. But if you follow the rest of the 360-degree ripple that's going in the opposite direction, see how many other smiles was created by that. You know, think about it for a second. You could smile.
I try to do that every day.
Yeah.
I go to people every day that I don't even know, and I smile at them, or if I'm at a store, I'll open the door for them and let them go in. You know, or when I walk with any woman on the street, I always bow to them. I don't care what culture they come from, black, white, yellow, red, they're all sisters of the earth. Without them, there'd be no nation. So I always do that.
That's cool.
And you would absolutely, I get this great feeling when people start smiling back at you. That are having a terrible day, then they're smiling at you because you smiled back at them and done something nice.
Yeah.
It don't take nothing to open the door for some elder. It doesn't take anything.
And when you think about it, and when you open that door for a stranger, their world might have been chaotic that day, and that one act of kindness that you did for them to show respect to them and love, that makes a big difference. You know, it's, you got the power of the spoken word, you got the power of your actions, you got the power of the pen. Write it down. If you can't speak it out, if you can't find the words to say it out loud, or the courage to say it out loud, write it down. Put it in a podcast, put it in a blog or whatever out here on the internet. Write some words of wisdom down that are on your heart whenever you got them, and share them with the world. I believe in the dream.
A Mexican wave with a smile, eh?
Yeah.
on that note, the smile, right? It's an amazing tool that we all possess. Just the act of a smile is in your act, which gives you the physical feeling of well-being. So if you're having a crappy day, just smile, and they'll go smoothly. It will change the events of the day, but at least you feel a little bit better just because you smiled, right? And you mentioned smile at somebody else, right? That also doubles the effect of your smile if they smile back at you. It's a mirroring effect of a smile, right? Very simple tool, very useful. But unfortunately, not enough people use it, because the average person has 65,000 thoughts a day. 65,000 thoughts, right? But the problem is, 60% of those thoughts are negative. And because we have negative thoughts, we don't dream or even consider smiling. Now, me, I smile all the time. You know, I've recently taken up martial arts, right? And my chief instructor, right, we're running drills, and I'm smiling away, throwing punches and kicking kicks at him. And he's saying, "Why are you smiling at me? You're meant to look aggressive."
Huh.
And I'm going, "Well, because I'm smiling at you, it's putting you off blocking the punches I'm throwing." So, you know, even though martial arts isn't exactly very loving, the fact that I'm smiling is making me a winner, because he can't react to it. He doesn't understand how, you know, how can you be smiling and fighting at the same time? You know, and I'm just loving it, you know.
Let me tell you a funny story.
If you understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I understand. Let me tell you a funny story, kind of on a similar line. I was out mowing my lawn here about a week ago, and my riding mower, the deck on my riding mower literally just exploded. I mean, I, you know, hit all kinds of stumps and everything with it, but eventually it couldn't take any more, and finally the mowing deck on my riding lawn mower just fell apart. That one of the blades and the shaft and the bearings were all falling out the bottom of it, and I was standing there thinking about, you know, the whole practice what you preach kind of thing, you know, and the negativity that was getting ready to come about because, you know, I'm frustrated. My lawnmower just basically exploded, the bottom end of it, the mower portion anyway. And so I got some tools out, calmly went over there, I removed the deck and wired up the control rods to it so they wouldn't drag on the ground. And I hooked up my little trailer to the back of it and put a seat in there, and I started taking the kids on a joyride around the farm area. And I turned what would have normally been a day of me complaining and cursing and raising a ruckus because I'm angry because this doggone thing fell apart. And I did use that whole, you know, make if life gives you lemons, make lemonade concept. And we turned what would have been, you know, a terrible day into something positive. I mean, I took all the kids. I mean, we took them two or three at a time, and we all went around the entire trails that I had cut throughout the property and just made kind of like a hayride out of it. Now, like I said, I could have went completely the opposite direction. But for some reason, that particular day, the wisdom that I was speaking about all this time kind of kicked in for myself, and I practiced what I preach. What do you think?
It's about fun. Yeah, life's about fun. So, you know, if you're not having fun, you're doing something wrong. So if there's a spoiler on the day and you're pretty miserable, just make it into fun, something fun.
Yep.
As you just did.
Sometimes they say you have to laugh in the face of adversity or life will get you down, and that's, boy, that's true. It feels good to laugh. It feels good to smile.
Oh, for sure. You've got two choices, laugh or cry. You
yep.
know, which choice are you going to make? It's always go with the laugh, isn't it?
Yeah.
Always. Because the laugh puts you into a positive mood. The positive mood heals you quicker. If you cry, that pain's going to hurt more, right? And you're going to be miserable for longer. So, fall over, injure yourself, you get up and laugh it off, don't you?
Yep.
Else lay there and cry for an hour. I get up and laugh. That's my choice. That's the choice I recommend for everyone.
Well, I'm hoping that these words of wisdom will resonate out there, but, you know, regardless of today's episode or whatever, we're going to load these podcasts up there, and they'll continue to be up there. And so if those folks out there just maybe hearing this show for the first time, if you want to hear what we said in the past to see how consistent we've all been all along, go back and listen to these podcasts. And you'll to some extent, you'll hear an evolution, you know, where we started off talking about, you know, when we first jumped down into the matrix and found that the world wasn't what we thought it was, and we got concerned for our family. Everything we said on these shows, we said from the heart and out of love, and, you know, I'm not ashamed of anything I said, you know, positive throughout the entirety of the whole deal. There's been many times you probably even heard me saying I'm ready to give up because it seems like it's the task is so incredibly overwhelming. But if you go look on the podcast page, there's one picture that I keep mentioning a lot. And it says that this picture says it all. And if you look at the picture, you'll see that there's some puzzle pieces laying right there in the center of a circle. And there's people all the way around the circle with the exception of one space, and there's one individual standing outside the circle. And it says, you are the missing piece. And that's the truth. This world is full of puzzle pieces. Each and every one of you are puzzle pieces. And without you, there's no way that the grand scheme, the big picture, can ever be completed. So when we send our children overseas to different nations, and they're all killing each other, and they're taking away from those puzzle pieces. And the more of those pieces that are gone, the lesser that picture will ever become of what we could be. If you look out at this world, and you could only see what we see through our eyes, the folks Sky Blue and Charles and Two Dog on here, if you could see the world through our eyes to see the vision of what we think the world could be, not under some one world government or some one world religion or ideology or agenda, under a one world idea that if we could all come together somehow, some way, by some divine miracle or even, you know, man-made choice, we could turn this world literally into a heaven on earth, a utopia. And it's not beyond the realms of our possibility. We have technologies right now that can feed the hungry. We could teach people how to grow things. We could shelter the homeless. We have more than we ever will be able to use. If you think that that's not a true statement, go into some of your wealthier countries and look at the companies and look at the giant warehouses with stores and stores of things that sometimes will finally meet an expiration date where they end up having to throw it in the trash. All that effort to put this food together would go to waste. And instead of utilizing everything that we've been given in such a manner that it's so efficient, I talk about the Zero Waste Project, where if we could gather just a small community together and we could show people of the world how you could use everything. Nothing gets wasted. If you think about what science says that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So when you burn a piece of firewood, I said this on the show yesterday, when you burn a piece of firewood, that firewood doesn't go away. It just changes its chemistry. It just changes its form and shape. It turns into different elements. The creosote that's built up inside your chimney, that's another type of fuel. And if you don't believe that, never clean it out. And then one day when it stops up and gets too hot, that stuff will burst into flames and you'll have a chimney fire. And the ashes that you throw on the ground out there, there's several different uses. You can make soap out of it. You can use the ashes to get yourself out of a jam in your vehicle by putting it underneath the tires, and it'll give you traction. There's other things. It's got chemicals in there that's good for your garden. It's a fertilizer. So no matter how hard man tried, we burnt that firewood. We went out and chopped down even more firewood. But if we was to use this properly, every single bit of what would have normally been classified as waste would have been reused and recycled into the system, just like, guess who? Our planet. Our planet does this all the time. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Hey, you're not wrong.
And, you know, to be honest, if you look at the energy, if you look at energy in itself, we're making energy just by speaking with each other.
Yep. There's, you know,
okay,
on the note you mentioned about feeding the world, right? The problem the world has is that it is badly managed, right? And I'm not meaning individual governments are wrong. It's those that control the governments, okay? They deliberately mismanage the world's resources to make artificial scarcity. For instance, Africa could feed the world three times over. But any nation that becomes a self-sustaining food-producing country in Africa, they bring it to civil war. And then they lay mines in fields that could be used to grow food, right? They bring war to African nations that could feed the world. And it's done deliberately, by design, so there is mass starvation.
And if you want to talk about the balance of what's right and what's wrong, if you actually look at the resources available in Africa, they're probably by far the wealthiest nation in the country or in the world, but it's being stolen from them, literally by greedy people and what do you call pirates or whatever. If they were allowed to basically utilize their resources to their fullest potential, they would be so well off. It would be incredible. But the
guys,
exactly, it's badly mismanaged because they want to keep a divide, as in the rich will become fabulously wealthy and the poor never ever ever get out of poverty.
That's right.
Let me try to say it like this. In our culture years ago, and I'm talking years ago in my culture, we had a thing where it was we, us, ours. That's how this thing worked. It wasn't me, mine, and I. It was we, us, and ours. And what I'm trying to say in people's community, okay, say you got a community in a town, all right? Start planting a community garden. In other words, work with we, us, and ours, and forget about me, mine, and I, and start working together for the benefit of the whole.
Oh, I love that concept of community gardening.
It is what you think.
I love that concept of community gardening because, you know, if you go around basically in the U.S., you'll find that there's all kinds of food pantries around where people are trying to help each other out and stuff like that. And that's a wonderful thing as long as it's not misused by, you know, those in charge of, you know, setting it up or whatever. But a community garden, it does a whole lot more. It brings people together to work together, and they all, can reap the benefits of cultivating food for one another. And it shows that if a community does decide that it wants to come together and work together like that, everyone benefits. So I say there's no reason in today's day and age with the technology that we have at our disposal that anyone should be doing without. There's no reason for nobody to starve to death. There's no reason for homelessness. There's also another picture, and I'd love for you folks out there listening, if you get the opportunity, stop over there and look at the podcast page, all right? And look at some of the pictures on there and just think about the meanings of those pictures. But there's one particular picture that made me cry and made me warm my heart to an extreme. There's a picture of a baby over there. And I don't know where this picture originated from originally, but this one little baby is, in the first picture, is standing there and he's so malnutritioned, he's so skinny, and everyone out there is walking by him as if he's just, you know, terrible. Well, one lady's sitting there, she's giving this baby water. And then it shows an updated picture of the same lady and the same baby, and you see this beautiful little child that is standing there in his little red jumpsuit with a checkered shirt and his little backpack on and drinking some water next to this lady. This one lady, she made a miracle happen. She didn't stop when she saw this baby and look and say, oh, that's terrible, and then turn around and walk away. No, she got involved. She took this baby through the whole deal of getting him healthy again. And there was, from the story that I read, he had parasites, he had sickness, and she nursed him back to health, and she gathered up the people that would help to pay for the doctor bills and all that kind of stuff. A year later, you see this baby looking like just the most beautiful work of art in the history of time. To me, that is an inspiring bit of hope, a light at the end of the tunnel that tells me that if you too see anyone out there in any kind of, you know, disarray or whatever, that you would go out of your way just to make their life a little bit better, even if it's only a fraction better. And you are the miracle. I wish that I could meet this lady. I wish that there was some way that I could get a message to her, that I could stand next to this lady. I'd give her the biggest hug that you ever saw in your life. I would tell her, you know, that miracle and how much I loved her for what she did for that child. There's no reason for this in our world. We've got such an overabundance of everything necessary to resolve issues like this. There should be a happy baby, a happy child in every life that is born into this world. There's no reason for somebody to be homeless unless they choose to just wander the land and enjoy nature. That's their personal choice. But if they fell through the cracks of society, and we as society can't find it in our hearts to lift them up and lift their spirits and have them to believe in themselves again. Now, there's people in this world that made mistakes, that went to jail, and then they came out of jail and they couldn't, just somehow or another, couldn't get their act together, and they went back to jail, and then they got out of jail again, and all the way through the entire history of their life, it was one misfortune after another. But in the instance where somebody like this lady stepped into their life and showed them there's a different way and got them back on their feet, that is the positive pebbles that are the miracles that make this world better on a daily basis. We can do this thing. Honestly, we can.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. You know, Shaziz, I'll tell you, you see on my picture here of the three flags flying.
Yeah.
You can see it there. Now, when they come, let me explain this to you. You can see that the man that shook my hand that day, he was a little bit, you know, not knowing what was coming. And I told him to come and sit down with me and walk and get this food together and then sit down. And the first thing I said to him, I said, my brother, don't worry because I don't build walls here. And when I said that, you could see the ease. And he told his children to come in and get food. Sit with me. Talk to me.
Well, I think there needs to be.
My nation don't build walls.
I think there needs to be more Two Dogs out there, and more Sky Blues, and more King Shaziz the Terribles. You can leave the terrible out if you want, but you know it kind of adds a little bit of humor to what would otherwise been kind of a.
Everything has to have humor, my friend.
Yeah, but the fact that you're bringing. Whether you want to call them ambassadors or people from other nations to, you know, go back and speak the truth to other people, I'm loving every minute of it. And I wish that you would have every flag from every nation standing there next to those flags and they all would have the same experience that you guys experience when you join together for a meal or whatever. I know that it's possible.
Well,
go ahead.
I can say it right now, Shaziz. I hold 59 flags now, and Standing Rock Tribal Nation was the last flag I just got. And what this is to honor people from where they're from, and that flag flying with my nation. It is an honor and a respect to them that when they come up this road to set in my circle fire and to talk to me, it's just to honor you. I'm even getting state flags from America. I'm getting county flags from England. You know, I'm getting everything here, and it's a blessing. So I thank the Creator with all my heart that this blessing is allowed to happen. And I can honor these people when they come, because it's just a thing of love, honor, and respect of everyone. That's because we are all related. And when he come riding up, he said, I have never seen anything like this in America, you know, that he's ever went to, because I had Mexico flying with us. It's because we are all related, and it's a thing of honor and respect. And if we can't respect each other no matter where we're from, then how are we going to talk?
Yeah, in a perfect world, there'd be fairness straight across the board and there wouldn't be any borders. And it's a shame that we got to live in a world like we do right now, but the world is in, essentially, it's in an infant stage. It's past the infant stage, because the infants are born, you know, with kindness on their heart and, you know, just sheer trust and love for everybody. But somehow or another, throughout the chaos, we've worked our way so far away from the light into the darkness that it's so hard to get back. And I feel like we do need a connection to our Creator. We do need a connection to whoever you call God. You know, I have my own spiritual journey. I have my own book of faith, and I believe that, you know, things could be better. But without you, without your book of faith, without your spiritual journey, I'm just one piece of the puzzle, and I can't I can't change your heart and your mind or what you do with your life out there. It's not my business to tell you how to run your life. But if you could see what I see, if you could see what Charles sees or Sky Blue sees, then you would see that we got a vision of this world of how it could be as opposed to how it is. The Knights of the Round Table is only as good as the people that are willing to come and sit at this table and agree to disagree in a respectful manner, or agree on everything, or whatever, to work through all the issues of the world and throw some positive hope out there, some sort of light that people can follow. Someday somebody in trouble may stumble on one of these podcasts, and they may listen to that, and the words that are coming out of their mouth may very well be the words that they needed. You know, it only takes one person to literally start a war. You start telling people that this one now is hateful, this one is that, or whatever. You start putting all the negativity out there toward them, and next thing you know, you got to fight. There's a story that I've mentioned quite a few times about the Hatfield and McCoys. They've been fighting so long that they forgot what the heck the feud was over to begin with. Does anybody know what we're fighting for? You know, if you're fighting for freedom and peace and hope and love, then you got to realize that dropping a bomb on some other country ain't making friends. It's as simple as that. The saddest thing that I ever heard was when this reporter asked these two Palestinian girls, said, "Do you ever want peace with Israel?" And their response was, "No, we hate Israel. They killed our mommy and daddy." Well, jump on the other side of the fence and ask two of the Israeli girls what they think of the Palestinian girls. They might very well say the same thing. And so until those chains are broken, until the people can actually come together in the middle, you know, on the peace ground, then this will continue to be a never-ending cycle of abuse and death and destruction. Common sense sometime has to rule the day. We have to figure out a way to get our voices to resonate around this world, to making people understand that they are just as important as every other piece of the puzzle out there. Without them, this picture can never be complete. Now, that could very well be our Creator's lesson for us. Go ahead, Charles.
Yeah, I look at it also like this, because there's two songs out there. And in the lyrics of one of these songs is, why do they always start the war? Why do they always send the war?
Yep.
And there's another song out there, and it says, all the world has kings and queens. It blinds your eyes and steals your dreams. It's heaven and hell.
Yep, that's my favorite one right there, and it's so true. The kings and queens of this earth, they don't have the best interests of all their brothers and sisters around the world at heart. They got the power that they want. They got the money they want. I mean, it's good to be the king, because if you're the king, you get whatever you want. It don't matter who pays the price, you get what you want. What the difference between Charles being a leader in his community and me being like old King Shaziz the Terrible, is that we want our people, our friends, our brothers and sisters to all have what they need. And we don't want it at somebody else's expense. That's the difference.
I'm just gonna throw my voice out there, seeing how I'm not a king or a chief. Something you said earlier, Shaz, basically reminded me of this, about God and Creator. You know, everybody, you know, you ask everybody what is God to them, you know, you'll get 7 billion different answers.
Yep.
Right? And the problem is that everybody has been made to look for God externally. You know, where is God? And they all point upwards to heaven. right? Now that isn't really where he is. God is within you. He moves through us, right? And I'm using the word God, creator, whatever term you want to think of the supreme being, right? The be all and end all. Where are you going? Who, whatever he may be, he can only be found when you look within yourself. Right?
No, it's ironic.
You start looking in within yourself.
It's ironic
until
that
you
said that.
There, you will find what it is that.
Sky Blue, it's ironic that you said
that.
That
makes sense. Go on, Chas, you was trying to make a point.
Because in my book of faith, if you go all the way back to Genesis, and it said that in the beginning that God created man in his own image, which means a whole lot more than just the phrase that it said. It means that we are creators. We create our own pain. We create our own suffering. We create our own destiny. We have that free will choice that has basically been squandered and put us in the position that we even have to have this show to begin with. Had we understood from the get-go the difference between good and evil and the paths that you can get by going down either road, we would have not been having to have this conversation right now. Because, once again, if you look out there and you see what nature has to offer, not only is the world beautiful when it's allowed to be beautiful, it has amazing capabilities. I keep saying that it is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. Nothing gets wasted in nature. Nature recycles everything. If you ain't using it, nature will take it back and let somebody else, some other creature, use it. That's the way that nature works. And there's not one single thing that we've ever built that nature can't put back where it belongs. Nature will balance itself out every time. Now, as far as man polluting the oceans and man polluting the waterways and all that kind of stuff, there's going to be a time when, if we keep going down the path that we're at, we will destroy the thing so badly that nature can't keep up with the mess that we've made, and we will kill ourselves off. Nature will clean house, and then it will be as if we never even existed. I kind of want to be on the side where we're working.
There you go, Shaz.
Yep.
You hit something there, right? Nature is a recycling thing, right? The problem with pollution, right? You know, the world isn't in no danger. Mankind is, because we're destroying our own habitat.
Yep.
But the world itself will still be there. It may be radioactive for the next 35 billion years. Mankind will be eradicated, but the world will still be there, cleaning itself up slowly.
Yep.
For the next creation to be put on there. On the point I was making about if we look within ourselves to find God, right? If we all did that and come to the realization that we are a mini God, then we could at least come to the realization that war is wrong. And when we as an individual say that war is pointless, we don't benefit. We, the people who fight that war, we don't benefit. We're not going to war. So all these politicians who send us to war are going to have to fight it themselves. Right?
That's it.
The solution
right
is that if everyone has to look into themselves, when the world actually finally wakes up to who they are or what they're capable of, there would be no war.
That's right.
Because the politicians, you know,
that's
they ain't got no one to fight it.
That's why I tell everybody that you are more powerful than you can possibly imagine. See, a lot of people won't stand for what they believe in because of fear. Because if I don't do what they say, they'll come and get me and they'll take me away. Well, maybe they will. All right? Well, but if people don't start to stand up for their truth and they don't start to stand up, I don't want to go to war. I see there's a movie that came out recently where this guy said that he didn't want to pick up a gun, and all he did throughout the entire war is rush in and drag people to safety that were wounded. That's all he did throughout the entire movie. All right, and that's kind of like what we're doing. We're not like getting shot at right now, but we are out there on the battlefield trying to find those folks out there who are wounded and trying to bring them, you know, over here on the peaceful side and show them, look, there's options. There are other options. You're not as weak as the world has told you that you are. You have the power of the spoken word, and the things that come out of your mouth can make or break somebody's day. You can literally sit down and you can contemplate the terminology to take and raise somebody up to the highest levels of the best heaven in your imagination, or you can take that same voice and by the tone of your voice and by the anger in your heart, you can drag that person down to the lowest depths of the darkest abyss. That's power. Now imagine if you decide to exercise that power for whichever side that you want to go on. If you want to go on the dark side, boy, you can drag some people under. If you want to go on the light side, you can lift some people up. That picture of the baby that I talked about, that was a miracle. That was a miracle created by a human, created by our Creator. And I'm going to tell you what, that to me shows that it isn't over until it's over. This lady, she went out of her way. She did whatever it took to make sure that this baby was lifted up and he had a chance at life. And that to me is our duty as caretakers, servants to one another. We should be doing this on a regular basis. Don't believe that you can't. I mean, if you've got so much as a crumb in your pocket and they got nothing, then be willing to turn that crumb over to somebody.
Hey, I'd split the crumb.
Well, there you go.
I'm sure I could find a way.
There you go. Hey, Yahoo Sirius in the movie Young Einstein, he split the beer at him with a chisel in his grandfather's shed, so anything's possible.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned something there about people living in fear. Okay, I know. They follow orders because they live in fear. Now, my belief is I have no fear, and truly I do not fear nothing. I've taken up martial arts because I'm fearful, but I still want the physical ability to make sure that somebody understands no means no.
Yep.
Right? So if we should go to war, right, and they he said, I'm going to say, no. And they're going to say, yes, you are. And then they send three guys around dressed in a military uniform to come and take me away. I'm going to prove to them I'm not going. Right? So that's why I'm taking up martial arts.
Well,
you know,
see,
I'm the biggest pacifist going.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. In this day and age that we live in, unfortunately, defense is one of the things that is necessary in order to be able to defend yourself, to be able to live your life. But as long as that's the route you're taking, that you're in defense of your nation, you're standing on the right side of the fence. When you're the aggressor, when you're the one that goes out and does the dirty deed to others, that's when the thing changes. You see what I mean? I'm happy you're studying martial arts.
What he's saying, but you know, defense of your nation can be manipulated. You see, all wars have been caused through false flags. As your nation's leaders say that an external enemy has harmed you, let's defend our country by going and bombing the crap out of their country.
Yeah, see, there's
no,
where...
thank you.
There's where the difference lies. When I say defense of your nation, I mean, like, I'm on my side of the fence. I'm minding my own business. I'm not bothering anybody, and an army comes in to attack me, and I fight them back with everything I got to protect my family and my home. That's what I'm talking about. But what the moment you go out to become the aggressor, you go out to retaliation, then you just stepped over to their side of the deal. You see what I mean? There is a difference.
Yeah, you said something there, defending your home.
Yeah.
Right? When it comes to defending your home, that's fine. But defending your nation isn't your home. You see, the way I look at it is, hey, I've got a dictator in charge now, Why should I defend his right to be a dictator when somebody else is going to come in as another dictator and take over? Not my problem, mate.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And it's a balancing act to try to be on the right side of what's going on out there when the world is in the state of affairs that it's in right now. It's a balancing act, and it takes wisdom. It takes, paying attention to know what... You know, Thomas Jefferson said it best. He said the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. That means paying attention to what's going on. When the folks on your side of the fence are the ones that's starting to trouble and trying to send your children to war, you need to know about it. You need to be able to stand up and say, hey, no, we're not going to go over there and fight your fight that you just started. If you want to do that, we'll put all you leaders over there in the boxing ring and let you go out toe-to-toe and whatever. But we're not sending our people to war because you chose to be the way that you are. You see what I mean?
Oh, totally. Unfortunately, if you look right through history as far back as you care to go, all wars are not for the protection of you, the people of that nation. It's always been for the powers that be.
I'm here to protect my family. That's real.
Well, probably,
for sure, we're here to protect our families.
I'm not here to attack anyone, but I am here to defend.
Personally, you are my family, all of you. Each and every one is my family. And this world is our home. And the only way that we're ever going to resolve this issue that we got going on is to show
people... The way I actually look at it, and I look at it in this way. The way I look at it, you can kill my body if you want to.
Well, you went silent there, Charles. I tried to add Barry to the call, too, but I don't know what's going on there. So, folks, I'm having a little bit of Skype trouble at the moment. I don't know what's going on. Hopefully it'll sort itself out. But the key to everything...
Yeah, the
go ahead, Sky Blue.
Go on, Chess.
The key to everything that we're talking...
I was just going to say,
we got this delay. Go ahead. I'm going to wait for you.
Okay. Right. The point I was going to make is war... Right. War is okay, yes. But what defines defending something? I mean, I want to defend my nation because my nation... The powers that run it aren't interested in the people in it. We are cattle to them. So as a cattle, I'm going to be a sheep and say, hey, this sheep ain't going to be fleeced. And as soon as I can jump the fence, I'm off. Right? So I will not defend my nation in a war, regardless of who's fighting. Okay? I'll defend myself, my property, my neighbours. I'll keep the peace around me. But beyond my realm, right, which is just my community, that's all I'm going to defend. My nation, part of the United Kingdom, you know, the United Kingdom, if its parliament says we're going to war because somebody wants to invade us, then fine. You know, I've got a dictator in charge, so whoever's going to come in is going to just sit in there and become another dictator. What's the difference? You know, they say, oh, well, you know, in World War II, they say, oh, it's a good job we won World War II. We'd be speaking German. And I think to myself, you know, Germany invaded France, but the French didn't learn German. You know, they still spoke French. You know, nothing will change. The dictator's in charge will change. But at the end of the day, you still got a dictator. So yep. it seems no point in a defense of a country. You know, I mean, I am patriotic in terms of I will defend the rights of what the Magna Carta and all that brought me, the laws of my country. But unfortunately, they've been eroded by dictator Tony Blair and all the subsequent prime ministers since him. So my rights, you know, I'm very much so a political activist, but that's the rights I'm fighting. I'm not fighting with a freaking M16. You know, I'm fighting by word of mouth, pen, paper, communicating with people in my country. That's my fight.
There's a phrase out there that the pen is mightier than the sword, and it's true. When those words are put together and put down to paper and they send out there and they resonate with the world, then you'd be surprised at the power of the pen. We're standing at a crossroads, folks, and I keep saying this because it's true. Everything that we need to resolve all the issues of this world, we have. The people out there that are committing all the crimes and atrocities and stuff, they haven't come to any kind of understanding outside the fact that they understand that the world appears to them at least to revolve around them. They want to get theirs. At some point in time, whether you believe it to be karma or justice, so at some point in time, every one of those folks will end up on the same end of the path. You know, the phrase, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword, it's so true. Because your actions will have consequences. They always will. And each and every one of those folks out there that end up doing people wrong are going to find that someday somebody's going to do them wrong. And someday, karma, or whatever you want to call it, will catch up to them. Someday, all their mistakes that they've made will catch up with them. Meantime, unfortunately, the good people of this world have to live with that kind of chaos hanging over their heads. But once the majority of the people, there are 9 billion people on this planet. Once the majority of the people realize that they truly hold the power if they choose to use it, then this world could change. It's not going to change as long as everyone follows under the banner of their own nation and they were willing to, you know, be a part of the team that rushes in and attacks and wins the battle or whatever. There will be battle after battle for as long as mankind chooses to follow blindly the leaders that they elect or somehow sneak into office or whatever. You have to start go ahead.
You say live by the sword, die by the sword. Well, my fate's already sealed then. I'm going to be crushed to death by a ton of emails.
There you go.
That's a joke, by the way.
I wonder how many emails it takes to equal a pound. Well, that's what's brilliant about the round table as well, is that we're out here in cyberspace and this table can be expanded. We can make this table wider and wider and fit more people around it. You know, you can notice today we're having a little bit of trouble with Skype and some of the guests are in and out of on volume, but we're dealing with it the best we can. But nonetheless, someday technology will catch up. We'll get this a perfectly clear deal, and the words of wisdom will keep flowing. And we'll keep putting them out there. We'll keep planting the seeds and throwing the positive pebbles as long as possible to ensure that someday somebody stumble across them and forever immortalize some words of wisdom out there in the digital cyberspace to give somebody that lighthouse standing on that shore where the stormy seas are, you know, taking them down where they don't want to go. I believe that each and every one of you is a lighthouse. I believe that if you let your true inner peace and light and love show, there ain't nothing that you can't accomplish. And you start off just like Charles does in his own community, or just like Sky Blue does in his. Sky Blue talked about everywhere he goes, he smiles. And even when he's learning how to defend himself, he's smiling. Charles is out there, he's bringing people to his table from nations after nations, and supporting their flags and their cultures. And they're doing wonderful things. And if that same idea was utilized in your community, if you're that shining light in your community, you'll watch that circle get wider and wider. And before it's all said and done, even though the wheels of justice might grind slowly, they do. They finally will get there. This world wasn't messed up overnight, and it won't be repaired overnight. But if you go back and you look and listen to where we started with this Knights of the Round Table quest, and you listen to things that were said back then, and you look and you see how many networks were sprung out of that and other networks that are doing the same thing, like TCT Radio and Haggy Shack Radio and, you know, Wake Radio and all the different networks prior and the new ones coming up. There are people that feel such an urgency about the world that we live in that are willing to step forward and use their words to help pave the stones for a smoother path for our children and our children's children into the future and beyond. We have that power. We're standing here right now with access to information beyond anything that mankind has ever known. We can study up cures for diseases. We can study up new methods and materials for building homes that will stand the test of time. We know how to make clean, renewable, alternative energy sources. We know how to free our people. It's the thing that bothers me the most is that I'm kind of impatient when it comes to making the world a better place. I kind of think everything's moving so slow. How am I going to get through this deal? But I'm watching, and it's slowly but surely creeping up towards what it could be. When more people are raising their voice and shouting from the tops of every mountains from all four points of the globe. Or the flat earth, whichever one you believe in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what shape the earth is. It matters what shape the earth is in. The world is in. And right now our world's in kind of a messy shape because listen to what's going on. Listen to the people fighting all the time. And listen to what they're arguing about. Watch how they protest. What sense does it make to stand up with a wooden stick and a paper sign and shout out, "Save the trees"? Wouldn't it be more sensible to go out there and plant a new tree? To help nature along? To get down in your local streams and creeks and rivers and lakes and clean up the mess that somebody else left behind. It's a roll up your sleeve kind of moment. Roll up your sleeve and get right in. There's a community out there that I'm pretty impressed by. It's an Amish community. They don't really subscribe to a lot of technologies or anything like that, but if you ever watch how things function in their community, when somebody's house is unfortunate enough to burn down, thousands will gather together and they will build that house back up. Sometimes as little as a day, they will have an entire house back up. But it's the community that comes together to do this that makes it possible so that everyone can benefit. You know, if a farmer loses his farm and his house and everything, then he can't use his talents that he's got. You know, that green thumb where he's out there and he's planting seeds, corn and potatoes and tomatoes and fruits and vegetables that he shares with his neighbors and sends out to market so that everybody else can benefit in the world. Without that one farmer, somebody's going to do without that night. And it's a shame. It's a sad shame because we have so much to offer one another. I believe that this world stands at a crossroads. And I believe that I'm just one of the many words of voices of wisdom that are shouting it out from the mountain. And that if the words that we say on these Knights of the Round Table, of all these honorable knights that have came together to take time out of their lives to share a positive message with you, you can do the same thing. And I believe that if you do the same thing, that we will resonate with the world. We can ring this world like a bell. And every single ear on this planet can hear what we have to say. If you find a podcast out here that you believe in, share it with somebody who needs to hear it. The only way the Knights of the Round Table can truly grow is whenever you believe in the idea. It's not about fame or fortune. It's not about finance. It's not about who can top the next guy. It's about a bunch of people who see a need in the world and decide to address it with the best tool that they have available, their heart. That's what we do here. And that's why we welcome you, each and every one of you. You got a friend? You want to bring them to the show? You want to have them on the microphone? You want to have their message heard? This is the place to do it. This isn't my radio network. This isn't my microphone. This is the world. This belongs to you, each and every one of you. As long as you're willing to stand on this, sit at this table and speak with respect and common sense to your brothers and sisters around the world, then you're always welcome. That's what we do here. And we got honorable knights, in the chat room. You go there, you watch as these shows are going on and people are posting links to pertinent ideas and information. It's a continuous flow of information every time we get together. We need more radio hosts that are willing to do the same exact thing. Bring these people together. Bring all the brilliant minds from all the nations of the world. And together we will build the dream team. The dream team is all of us. It's every single piece of the puzzle, and that one person standing outside that circle is you. That one missing piece of the puzzle. Without you, like I said, nobody can ever do or say in the way that you say it what you say. You are unique, every single one of you. And you are a piece of the puzzle. We can fix this thing if we choose to do so. And if you want to help us do it, and it's as simple as getting in here and saying hi or sharing a podcast. It's that easy. A couple seconds to drop a link, right, Sky Blue?
Oh, for sure.
Charles, you there? Something's wrong with Charles's audio. We don't got him in there.
Yes, I'm right here. My Skype's rolling on the pad.
Well, it's that time again for us to go around the table.
It's rolling on the bed. Weather today, but
you got any last words of wisdom for everybody, Charles, before we end this show?
You know, I want to say this.
We lost you again, brother. Sorry, folks. We're having technical difficulties with Skype. Charles's internet must be in and out. Well,
thank you for allowing me.
Well, Charles, I'm honored and humbled by your presence, brother. Thank you. So how about you, Sky Blue? Getting last one.
I'm gonna leave you with something I said earlier, because I do feel that it is extremely important to the way you should just live your life. Help is in your mind, heaven is in your heart. If you listen to your heart, you can live in heaven. if you listen to your mind, you'll live in hell. That's important. If listeners out there realize this and understand it, it'll change your world. That's it. Thanks, Shaz, for giving me the opportunity to say that.
Well, thank you, brother, for being here. Like I said, I'm honored and humbled that you guys spend your time with me. And that word that you just said, it blows me away because I never really thought of it in that sense, but you're so right. So anyway, Charles, I don't know what's going on with your microphone there.
Well,
go ahead.
One of the things that's going wrong is my Skype is rolling a little bit on bad weather, but what I want to say to people around the world is go up to your brothers and your sisters, smile at them, shake their hand, and let them know that we love in this world. There's still love. And that's another good thing. So it's been an honor for me, Shaziz, to be on the show with you. And I hope to have many, many more roundtables with you, my brother.
Well, I can't wait. Like I said, these shows, they take on a life of their own. And it's always amazing. And I'm honored and humbled for every one of them. So with that said, folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. Jump over to Hagley Shack Radio and visit with those nice folks. Jump over there to TCT Radio and all the other affiliated networks. If I ain't mention your name, that's because we seem to be growing on a regular basis, and it's a good thing because the more people, the more networks out there, people speaking their hearts and their truths and bring in people some hope and some solutions. My best message to the people of this world out there, all you folks listening, is you are the solutions. And don't ever, ever think that you so less of yourself that you're not worthy. Because you're just as worthy as any of us. I believe in you. I believe in the dream. I know that if we ever decide to do so, we can make this world so much better. So incredibly better than what it is now, beyond your wildest imagination. I don't believe our Creator set us down here to fail. I believe that when we learn it, when we feel it in our heart, and I feel like some of us has already figured it out, and some of us are standing there like that lighthouse on the edge of the stormy sea, and we're showing the light, look, hey, there's something going on here that you should pay attention to, and it's a good thing. So with that said, peace and love, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you like these shows, share them with somebody you care about. Take care.
Woman, man, what knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three knots whenever we're able. We do routine to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rise that our quiet unsing able. We're off from bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Sir Zeus the Terrible! All rise for King Sir Zeus the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!